Hello, I am Anderson Cowan, and I have got a movie to make, and this is I've Got a Movie to Make, week 112 of 116 weeks, and I am moving. I am surrounded by boxes in my garage, and it is what it is. They say that it's like one of the most stressful things you'll ever go through in life, but I just find it sad. I'm just always sad whenever I move, because I lug so much stuff around with me from like one place to the next. I haven't even counted how many places I've lived. I know that a lot of us have lived in a lot of places, right? But I have a hard time letting things go, like from the past. And every time I move or organize or go through a period, I just chuck things. I S-can them, as Giuseppe would say, from Giuseppe Wants to Make a Movie, or Giuseppe Makes a Movie, whatever it's called. But yeah, it's like I just have a hard time letting go of things. And I know what it is. I feel like if I throw that thing away, that thing will be gone away from me forever. And that part of my life is forever gone. But it's already gone. I'm just lying to myself. That part of my life, and you can never go home. So anyways, that's not what this is about. This is about the old I Got a Movie to Make. This is about making the next movie. In fact, I was on the phone with my buddy Mickey about 45 minutes, just about an hour or so ago, and that was a nice conversation. He's doing good things. He's working on a feature film right now with Machine Gun Kelly as the writer, director, co-director, and star of the movie. So I'm hearing all sorts of stories. I would never tell them here, but they are amusing, to say the least. What else has happened? Oh, well, there's this. So the biggest thing that has happened since I last talked to you is I'm constantly reading and listening to articles and listening to stories and trying to get insights and trying to figure out, because nobody knows nothing. We know that much. And I think I've learned that much along the process of the last 111 weeks or so in doing this. I wasn't naive to the point where I thought that I would make a feature film and then, be off to the races. I knew that it was going to be a struggle, and obviously none of us knew that COVID was coming. And, I knew that it wasn't going to be a smooth sailing, to say the least, but I didn't know the extent of it. And all I've heard in all of my research and all of my interviews that I listened to and all of the reading, every article, every single one of them is dire. Like, when you have, for those of you who have kids, and you about half the parents that you're talking to before your kid is born are like, oh, your life's never going to be the same. You're never going to sleep again. All your friends without kids, they're gone. Welcome to parenthood. And then they make it seem like it's just awful. But then there's like, maybe not even quite the other half, but maybe like 30% of your friends who have kids are like, oh, it's great. Congratulations. You're going to love it. It's 100% of every single story that I hear from independent filmmakers who are in the same pool as I am, and doing about as well as I am with their first movie. Actually, not as well. Groupers is a massive success story compared to every single story that I've heard, and that's due in large part, if not solely, because of you guys, and because I have a small dedicated audience, thank God, who followed me on my journey and like wanted to see me succeed and listens to me, have been listening to me on the Film Vault and the After Disaster Cinematics doing and this, and well, I didn't do Groupers before that. Anyways, every single story I hear, I the only success stories are like people that got lucky and found an audience and they were able to sell enough merchandise to be able to turn it around and make a living out of it. And it's scary out there. And, it is art, so I get it to an extent. Most painters, if I was obsessed with being a painter, imagine if that was it. Like, I was like, this whole thing is like, I just want to paint and I just want people to buy my paintings and I want to, have a gallery showing. And that's essentially like making a movie, right? And akin to that. It wouldn't be a surprise that, there's just like every, and I listen to nothing but interviews with other painters, and everyone's like, all the painters and all the artists are like, you just can't find anyone to buy my paintings. What am I talking about? But here's what I've learned. I just, since I last talked to you, came across an interview where a woman, I'm not going to name names, I'm not going to say, but she started out as an actress, became didn't like the roles that were out there for women, so she started writing her own stuff and got more on the producer side of things, and then even started a nonprofit, became an activist, and has been raising money from investors, and has been an investor, and has seen the process from the other side. And she claims that 90 to 95% of every single movie that plays at Sundance, every single movie that gets pre-sales, pre-distribution, every single movie that gets put, deemed to be successful, that it has a fighting chance, or not even a fighting chance, that is going to get an audience, going to have a backing, going to be presented by, dare I say it, like Hollywood, chosen as a deemable film, is deemed as such before the first day of shooting. It's done so at script level, which was a bit of a revelation, to say the least. I'm naive, I guess, to an extent, and I thought it was maybe 50%, I would have guessed, because of pre-existing relationships and the inner circle, and you know the town is pretty small and it's all about who you know, and but I guess I was naive in the sense that I thought that people who have zero connections and just make movies that they want to make, independent cinema, literally independent cinema, and you have a fighting chance of finding an audience if you do it right and you do it and you make something decent. And according to not only her, but other things that I have looked up and read about since, that seems to be, I mean, there's no data to prove this. And it's one of these things where it's, everyone's cagey, and nobody's, even the filmmakers who don't make a dime don't yell about it. They don't talk about it from, you know, shout it from the mountaintops, because a lot of them are embarrassed and they feel like they got taken advantage of by their distributor. And by no means am I saying that about my distributor. I have a great relationship with my distributor. You know, I'm not setting the world on fire. I didn't expect to with Groupers. But I mean, if I put up my own money for this, you know, and tried to go to the wife and say, hey, this is my business plan and this is what I'm going to continue to do, she'd be like, oh, you're going to continue to, you know, lose 50% of your investment every time you go to make your art. It's not sustainable, is what I'm saying. Even with a good distributor like I got, and I got a good sales rep, one of the few that's really, really respected and has a great reputation. So I was one of the lucky few to not get completely and totally railroaded. But that being said, it didn't open a whole lot of doors that I'm aware of. Now, a lot of that is on me. I'm not a squeaky wheel. I'm not a knock on the door, a guy like, look at me, this is, but I'm becoming that. And I'm getting very close to that. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, the wife won't accept any other way. That's why I started this feed. I was explaining that, you know, I got to make it within the next 2.5 years or, you know, it's game over. A lot has changed since then. And, you know, I am staying in the LA area. And I believe in this project, and I guess it's almost, it's funny, because when I was talking to Mickey about this, he kind of like was trying to talk me off a ledge, and he's like, no, it's not, I don't think it's that bad. He said it might be 80% from what I see, because, you know, Mickey's working in, he's actually on the sets and stuff, so he, you know, he doesn't have quite the view of like a producer or an investor would, but he says, I think it's bad, but I don't think it's that bad. And I'm saying, no, I don't think, this is actually almost good news for me, because this means that there is a path to be preordained. Even though, as I heard, you know, initially heard this, the woman that was talking about it continued to back it up with, and they're always white males, which we're changing, it needs to change. So, I mean, it's kind of like a double whammy. Like, I'm trying to navigate as an independent filmmaker. Plus, I am the enemy, or not the enemy, but it's like a lot of, you know, there was a lot of opinion of like, okay, white males, you've had your say for the last 100+ years. It's time for somebody else's voice. So I get that. And it's just, it's even more of a challenge. So I like the idea. I mean, the guy that runs, that created the Blacklist, for those of you who might not know what the Blacklist is, it's a compilation of the top 10 unproduced screenplays in Hollywood, or, you know, in movie scripts that have not been produced. His name's Franklin. He has been doing this for a number of years now. I know Franklin. I used to be fairly chummy with him. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, I had many talks with him over drinks about scripts, and he always was so like, hey, Anderson, anytime, you know, you need coverage, or, you know, just let me know. And I'm like, all right. And 5 years later, I finally had something, but I didn't have anything at that time that I felt comfortable enough, because I am so, you know, as we all are, insecure with our work. I didn't have anything that I felt worthy enough to present to him. By the time that I did, he was completely inundated and, you know, on the cover of magazines. And, you know, he's the blacklist is a big thing. It's a big thing. I don't know what I'm even saying here. I'm sorry. I'm very tired. but no, I think it's, I don't want to say that there's a shortcut and it's, there's cheats that I can achieve. But I, you know, Hollywood's a lot of things, but the system just wants to make money. And I get that. And I understand that more than I ever, I always understood that there's money, you know, and it's about money, but I like risk, and I don't like risk aversion. And I like people that are willing to, you know, take a risk. And that's what independent cinema is all about. Independent movies are all about, like, you know, having a singular voice and taking a risk and hoping that it finds an audience. And from what I'm hearing, that's kind of dead. It's like, okay, you want to be an independent movie or look like an independent movie? Okay, we will allow that to happen. But you have to, like, kiss the ring and be allowed to be put on that elevator, which it's depressing. But the point that I'm getting at is, if you have something that can turn a profit, that can find an audience without a whole lot of, but the idea is your movie is your independent film is good enough to play at something like Sundance, even though Sundance is a bit of a joke at this point. A lot of them are jokes at this point. Slam Dance came out to you know, say F you to Sundance and be like the punk rock version and have more of the ethos that Sundance initially had, which was, you know, all about the independent voice. And they had gotten away from that. And Slam Dance came into existence. And Slam Dance has gone down the corporate road and looks more to movies that aren't, quote unquote, independent. So, but the dream that's being sold is you make a movie on your own, you're scrappy, you get it together, it's good enough to get into like one of these bigger festivals, and then you move on and you got that shine of the festival, right, on you. But with the 90 to 95% being predetermined at script level, first of all, how does that work? That's how I gotta figure. And if it's some of it, I know, is part of like just being a part of like the Sundance Labs and paying money up front and doing the work and chumming it up and rubbing the elbows. But also, they're looking for good work. It's got to be good work, and work probably gets better, if not more, produced for a wider audience through these machines. But then obviously the theater experience is just for the big franchise movies for the most part. It's like, if Clerks comes out today, I don't think it gets theatrical release. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I saw that twice in an independent movie house, and it was great. Clerks back in 1992, I think that's when it came out. But those days are kind of, you know, movie theaters are drying up, especially because of the pandemic. And then you go to the streamers, and I mean, there's just too much good stuff. It's almost like we're to the point where there's just too much good stuff now. And there's a lot of, and I'm not bitching about the content. As far as watching stuff, it's never been better. There's so much great stuff. It's almost unnerving how there's just, like, I'm almost done with White Lotus. I'm going to finish the last two episodes tonight. Mike White's White Lotus. Well, I love Mike White. It's fantastic. It's great. And like, you make a small little independent movie, you're competing with all of Marvel, all of Disney, obviously, and then all of the great, like, binge-worthy, as they say, television programs that are as good at telling stories as the pictures. So it's crazy. But if anything, this just reaffirms my belief that you got to be unique, you got to stand out. And that's one thing that that's all I want to do anyways. I don't want to stand out for the sake of standing out, but I don't want to be derivative, and I don't want to be telling somebody else's story. And, you know, I believe that this movie for Vengeance is a unique story, and it's a story that hasn't been told. And it's about a group of people who are underrepresented, and I'm actually, in a strange way, more, I almost, as shocking as and upsetting as it was when I initially heard that, and then when I got it backed up, when I went out and did the research, it actually has, I think it's done me good. So I'm going to get back to packing boxes and creating a new space here real soon. But yeah, this thing is going to literally end the week that I'm moving into the new place. So like I said, though, this won't be the end of this. I will take a breather and then I will come back with a vengeance. I promise you, I'm not, this thing is not going to peter out and be done. You guys listening to this whole, you need a payoff, and the payoff is not to ride off into the sunset. That is not, there's going to be a crash and a boom, and it's going to be spectacular. I got to tell you, and it's going to be the good kind of crash. Is there a good kind of crash? It's going to be, I'm going to crash into something and say, hey, look at this. All right. I'll talk to all you soon. Bye.